Bob does a lot of things really well, but the one thing he doesn't do very well is sleep. He hasn't been sleeping much because he's been staying up working. So maybe, like, you can get him a pillow or something. So, you know, I want to thank you, Bob, for all that you've been doing lately. I mean, a lot of this wouldn't have happened without what you did. To close this teaching on leadership principles of Jesus Christ, like I said in the beginning, there's a bunch of other teachings we could do along the lines. Like, one would be the commitment that Jesus Christ had to his goals. That would be a great one. You could do so many different things, but I thought maybe we could close with, you know, who was the first leader of the Christian church in the book of Acts? How many say Paul? How many say Peter? The correct answer is Peter. Peter was the first leader of the Christian church in the book of Acts. He didn't go to Harvard Seminary, Yale Seminary. He didn't really have a PhD kind of education, but he did get educated by the greatest leader of all time, Jesus Christ. So I thought tonight to close, we'd look a little bit about Peter's education in the school run by Jesus Christ. So Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. You know, Peter got into the Word because his brother had met the Master. His brother's name was Andrew, like Andres. And he was a fisherman also, and he met the Messiah, and he took his brother to meet the Messiah, and that's how Peter got introduced. That's in John 1, but we're not going to go there. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and in verse 16, Mark 1, 16, it says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were what? Fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become what?
Fishers of men.
When I first got into God's Word a long time ago, and I read these verses, I thought, like, Jesus came along, and he was, whoosh, follow me. And they just followed. Did any of you guys think that? Not as dumb as me, huh? Okay, so I thought, like, he'd never met them. He walked up to them. He was like, his presence was just so overwhelming and not divine, but so overwhelming, and he just, boom, and they followed. But that's not true at all. In fact, you know, Jesus Christ by this time had known these guys for a while. So he went back to the place where they were working, and he said, Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. The term fishers of men in the Talmud means literally to become fishers of the word. To become fishers of the word. Because really, if they were to become disciples and, you know, whatever else was going to happen to them, they needed to become fishers of God's Word. To be strong people spiritually, we had need to have our heads into God's Word. So in the Talmud, what this is a Hebraic expression, and it means fishers of men means fishers of the Word. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of the Word. Like last night I taught, if we're going to be serious about this stuff, it's not about going to picnics or going to nice boat cruises and all this other kind of fun stuff. It is, are we going to take the time to build God's Word in our life? If we're going to be leaders or strong people in God's Word, that Word of God has got to dwell richly in our hearts. If any of you guys don't have all these brown books, some of them are still available in the bookstore, you ought to buy some of these books while we still have them and kind of saturate your brain with God's Word. It would be very good. You know, at our house, We're building a library, and also at the Cars House, they have a lot of books and tapes and whatever. If you want to come and just spend a day in the Word or spend however, come on over, and I can help you work something in your life if you'd like to, all right? Because, you know, we just need to be working God's Word. So now we're looking at the training of Peter. Look at Luke chapter 5. So Jesus Christ told him, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of the Word." Jesus Christ, as we saw, had a tremendous knowledge of the Bible, and sure enough, imparted a lot of that to the people that followed him. Luke chapter 5. Now, most of us have read this record, but I think we need to read it once again and examine it in the light of Jesus Christ was training a person, and the eventual outcome of this guy's life, when he was going to be the leader of the Christian church. You know, and many times life situations, we just think we're going through life and they're kind of like, oh, here's just another thing. But you know, day by day in our life, the things we do now prepare us for stuff in the future. If we face the challenges that we have and we overcome them and we grow, then we're able to take on more in the future. If we're challenged with something and we back away or we chicken out or we refuse reproof, then it kind of prevents us from keeping going. Here was a guy, he was a fisherman. Jesus came by and, Jesus was working with him, and you'll see what happened. But in the whole grand scale of things, hindsight, quote unquote, here was the man that was going to take over the leadership of the Christian church, and Jesus Christ was going to share some things here that would be very valuable to him, not only as a fisherman, but as a leader in the body of Christ. So, who'd like to read a couple of verses? Okay, Lazarus, why don't you read 1 through 3? Please stand up.
Luke chapter 5?
Yeah.
Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of
Gennesaret,
and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship.
Okay, the lake of Gennesaret is the Sea of Galilee. So here he is, he's teaching the word out of Simon's ship. Simon was a fisherman. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Hey, launch out into the deep and let down your what?"
Nets.
Singular or plural?
Plural.
Okay, your nets for a draft. Verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we've toiled all night. I know the fishing business, and have taken absolutely nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the what?"
Yes.
Did he follow?
No.
No, he did not. Jesus Christ said nets, and he said net. If you want to be a leader, you need to be a good follower. If we're to be faithful believers, we need to be followers, not people who change things around to suit our mentality here. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their what? The net broke. Jesus Christ spoke by revelation. How did Jesus Christ know? Go out there, let down your nets, and you're going to catch all this fish. Here, Peter, the super fisherman, just been out there fishing. There ain't no fish out there. They're not biting tonight, or not biting, that's a figure of speech. They're not swimming around so I can catch them in my net. How did Jesus Christ know? Revelation. So, what happened? And when they had done this, verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying what? What was the sin here? Was the sin of What? He didn't follow the directions. He didn't receive the word that Jesus Christ taught. He said nets. Peter said net. For he was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of fishes that they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto him, Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and did what? Okay, now, where did Jesus Christ get the information to tell Peter to get the nets down? It was revelation, right? Because Peter had just been out there. It's a stupid thing. They weren't out there. Jesus Christ told them something that was ridiculous. Go back out there and let down your nets. So Peter, with his sense knowledge, did not follow what Jesus Christ had said. But what Jesus Christ had said came from who?
God.
So he missed out on God's will in his life. Now, we don't follow people blindly, that's not, but, you know, there's following, right? If we're doing setup tonight, and Bob tells everybody to face the chairs this way, and I decide to turn that chair that way, am I following? Am I submitting? Am I being a jerk? Don't answer that. You know, sometimes somebody has revelation, and we miss out. You know, but we don't follow blindly either, you know, there's that other aspect of it. You know, all right, now let's look at Mark chapter 6, or Luke 6. So here in that situation, Jesus Christ had revelation from God to do this exact thing. Peter, knowing too much, decided to do something else and missed out on God's blessing because he had too much sense knowledge and experience. So we need to learn to follow. Leaders need to be great followers of God and God's word, not followers of their own intelligence. Luke chapter 6, that was a good lesson for Peter, wasn't it? Luke chapter 6 and in verse 12. Luke chapter 6, 12 and 13. Who'd like to read those? Anybody? Okay, Angie, you got to belt it out over there. Stand up.
And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles.
Okay, remember Bob read this verse or something similar last night? He continued all night, had to make a very big decision. Who were going to be the apostles? Now, there are some apostles here. Let's look at the list. Simon, who he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew. Who knows what Matthew's profession was? Matthew, David, no? A tax collector. The tax collectors got the money and they sent the money to Rome to help the Pope over there. That's not true. But he sent the money to Rome over there, and that's what happened. They sent the money to Rome because that area of the country was like occupied. It was a Roman area. So the Romans got the money. So he was a tax collector. Now, Matthew the tax collector and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called who? Zelotes. Now, this guy was a zealot, and the zealots of that time were a radical Judean sect, openly opposed to the Judean rule, which was the Roman rule over the Judeans. They thought that paying taxes to the Romans was treason against God. These were the guys that killed themselves on Masada, I think in 70 A.D., So basically, one guy, in a sense, worked almost for the Romans, sent the money over there to Rome. The other guy basically was so totally opposed to this, and he thought it was treason against God. And these guys were wild. They were just people who totally opposed it to the death, some of them. And these guys then were the apostles in Jesus Christ's fellowship. It's like having a black Muslim and a white supremacist in your fellowship. Would you like to lead the singing, fellows? That's what it, you know, it's a modern day parallel. And that's really kind of how it was. But you know, it doesn't say that they got along or they did. It doesn't say that in there. But you know what? Who did they follow? They followed the Master, Jesus Christ. And you know, when all of us kind of follow the Master, sometimes the differences that we've had in our backgrounds, they don't become as important anymore because we got something even greater. So Jesus Christ had some wacky backgrounds in that fellowship, but those guys both followed the Master and came together. Mark chapter 3. Mark 3. Mark 3. Mark 3:14. So here's the fellowship that Jesus Christ had. This is, he called out the apostles here. This was his fellowship of 12. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should what? That they should be with him. Do you remember last night we read that his ministry was to preach and heal? Do you remember that? His ministry was to preach and heal. So if they were to be with him, what were they going to see? Him preaching and healing. So Jesus Christ would have taught them by words, and he would have shown them by example. A way to teach people is with our mouth, and it's also to teach people with our actions. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to what? Preach. And to have power, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Wow. Jesus Christ's ministry was to preach and heal. Here, they were to be with him, and the purpose of that, eventually, they were going to be sent forth to do exactly the same thing that Jesus Christ was doing. So he was going to train them by teaching them and showing them. Right? Cool. Like the fellow labor program that we have. Those people are in that program there. They live close to Jerry and Joe. They have a lot of exposure to people who are leaders. So not only do they hear them teach, but see things in people's lives. Mark chapter 4. There was a thing called a school of the prophets in the Old Testament. Very similar. Mark chapter 4. So they were to be with him, this fellowship. They were the apostles, and they were to be with him, and they were going to be taught, and they were going to see Jesus Christ's ministry, and he was to show them by example. Jesus Christ was to preach and heal, and they eventually were to be sent forth. Now, you know that Jesus Christ taught in parables, right? He taught in parables in Mark chapter 4, 10 through 13. Somebody read that? Okay, Anita, in the back. Go ahead.
Mark chapter 4, verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him, the 12, asked him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables.
Okay, stop. Verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the what? 12 asked him of the parable. He had taught this parable to the multitude. Thanks, it's okay. He had taught this parable to the multitude, but then the 12, his like leadership fellowship, and a few of the people that were around him, they asked him for more information. He taught the parable to the multitudes, but then to the leaders, to the disciples, to other people, he gave them more information. Parables, watch this. Here's the purpose of a parable. And he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in what? That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? The sower sows the word. He spoke the parables to the multitude, because sometimes in the multitude there were people who didn't really care about the word at all. So he spoke this truth sometime, but then later on to other people he would explain it to them. Jesus Christ had this fellowship, and he taught them more than what he would teach everybody. So there's a multitude. Then there were disciples. What's a disciple? A disciplined follower. Maybe from John chapter 8, if ye continue in the word, then are ye my what?
Disciples indeed.
Somebody who's a disciplined follower is a disciple. Then there were apostles. The apostles were picked from the disciples. God never gives a ministry to a lazy person, a man or a woman. The apostles came from the disciples, the disciplined followers. So, look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. Again, we're looking at a record here of a man in the future who was going to become the leader of the church. Let's look at see what he was like before this happened. Matthew 14. Matthew, and I know some of you guys are very familiar with this, so we're going to go through it kind of quick. Matthew 14, verse 22. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, and what was he doing?
Walking on the sea.
Any of you guys ever walk on the sea? When I moved here, my wife and I moved here from Florida. And so Jerry called me up and he said, "Hey, you know, sure great to have you, da 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 da." And I said, "You know, I scuba dive. You know, how's the water up here?" And he said, "Bro, the water's so dirty, if you walked on the water, it wouldn't be a miracle." Okay, anyway. All right. That wasn't literally true. Okay, now, so anyway, so here it is. Da-da-da-da, where are we? And he was walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit, it's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not what?"
Right.
Now watch this. This was a guy, let's look at Peter before he was the leader of the church. And Peter answered and said unto him, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on the water." If it's really you, ask me to come out. This guy have balls? Excuse me. This guy have guts? I knew I'd keep some of you awake with that statement. Okay. Did he have guts? I'd say he had guts. If it's really you, I want to come out there with you. And Jesus said what? Come. Now that's a guy that's willing to walk out on the word. That's some, you know, leaders and people who want to be committed can't wait for everybody else to do God's will. Come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Did he take a little chance? Sure did. Maybe he's going to fall in the water. Maybe people will laugh at him. Maybe he's going to get his pants wet. Who knows? But he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You know, those other guys in the boat there, it's a lot safer in the boat. She might not get wet. He said, "You know, if it's really you, let me come out there." And Jesus Christ said, "Come." And this guy walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus let him drown in there because of his unbelief. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little believing, wherefore didst thou what?" And so, who was the only one, according to this record that we know, that got what? That got wet?
Peter.
He got wet. But you know what he did? He walked on the water. Now, I don't know if people laughed at him. I don't know. But he was willing to take a chance, wasn't he? He was willing to get out of the boat where it was a little riskier and try out God's word. Sometimes believers, we play it safe too much. We stay in the boat. Oh, I don't want to speak God's word. I don't want to do this. I'm scared to speak in tongues. We get afraid and we stay in the boat instead of saying, okay, here's God's word. I don't care. I'm going to go. I'm going to try it. If I fall, I fall. I'm going for it. You know what? Peter got wet. But you know what happened? He walked on the water. You know, and one would think any human being, I mean, it doesn't say this, but if he walked on the water, do you think later on in his life he would remember that? I mean, I would think so. I remember stuff that I know God did for me, like it's really cool. I would think that he thought, do you think it would bless him to remember that he walked on the water with Jesus Christ? Do you think that would have helped him? You know, it says in Romans, experience builds hope, doesn't it? Remember that? So that positive thing in his life, when he knew that he walked on water, that could have helped him in other situations because he did the impossible because he got out of the boat. If we play it safe all the time, we'll never see the results of God's word in our life if we're afraid to get out of the boat. John 6. Now, Peter was growing in God's word. John 6. And this is a record of when a lot of disciples left. People left. And if we judge Jesus Christ's ministry by numbers, he was losing out right here. But we can't judge his ministry by numbers. We need to judge him according to the word. And according to that judgment, I guess he done pretty good. All right, verse 66. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They turned away from him, which in fact means they turned away from God. Verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the twelve apostles, will ye also go away? Everybody else is leaving. A lot of people are leaving. How about you, fellas? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Because you have a cool personality. You do great picnics. Man, the women that hang out, that Mary Magdalene, she is fine. I ain't leaving that fellowship. No? You know what she said, or he said? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of what? Why did he stay around? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hey, that's a pretty spiritual answer, isn't it? That's a really great answer. Matthew 16. This is juicy. Matthew 16. Matthew 16 in verse 13. By the way, after the fellowship tonight, not right away, but after a while, we're going to need some help putting this house back together. So if you'd like to hang around, move some chairs, do different things, that'd be fine. All right, Matthew 16 verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but who?
My Father.
So he's walking, isn't he? He's walking. That's very good. Verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. On the first night, we looked at Jesus Christ, the foundation. The church is based on Peter?
No.
It's based on who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, not on Peter. Peter means a stone that can be moved. Jesus Christ, he's the rock, a big rock that doesn't move. Verse 19, and I will give unto you, oh, here's some special treatment. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, this has this, you know, you're going to get something in the future. Now, someday in the future, Bob and I were talking about doing something on the kingdom of God, correct? When we do something on the kingdom of God, the answer to the keys to the kingdom here will be forthcoming. But there's a tape on it, actually, so you could listen to the tape, but I can't do it now. I don't have time. Verse 20. And they charged he, his disciples, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Here it is, verse 22. Now Peter, does he have balls? Excuse my language. Does he have guts? Does he have, yes he does. Now, guts can be good and guts can be bad. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Who's he rebuking?
Jesus.
He's got guts. He's reproving the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He's reproving Jesus Christ. Verse 23, but he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, who?
Satan.
For thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of what?
Amen.
So here is a turning point for Peter. He could go and get mad at Jesus Christ and say, you don't love me, you're too hard on me, God hates me, I'm no good, and just get pissed. Because, let's face it, probably none of us have ever gotten reproved. None of us have gotten reproved by the Lord Jesus Christ, have we?
No.
Not recently, anyway. Have we? And this wasn't an easy kind of reproof. This is, get thou behind me, Satan. Do you think that could have been embarrassing? Now, there's Lisa over there. She's been reproved a lot. She can relate to this. So can I. I've been reproved quite a bit. And when you get reproved, you know what you could do, what I can do? Cop an attitude. Say, this person's messed up. He doesn't love me. He has an attitude. He hates me. He wants to kill me. He doesn't, you know, he's arrogant. He sucks. He does whatever. Or we could say, you know what? You look at it honestly, is what this guy's saying is right. And you know, in life, how we deal with reproof when that reproof is right is going to make a big deal in our life. Here was a man that was going to become the leader of the Christian church. You know, there's an old saying, if you want to be in the kitchen, you got to be able to stand the heat. In other words, if Peter's going to be the man that can lead the whole church, he can't become a wimp when it comes to, if he's wrong, he's got to take it and admit it. Correct? We got to be tough. It says in the Old Testament, iron sharpens iron. Have any of you ever tried to sharpen a French fry before? We stopped at McDonald's on the way. I had this wimpy French fry. You can't sharpen a French fry because it's wimpy. But iron sharpeneth iron. And sometimes, man, if you get in the heat of the battle and you want to be a committed believer, if you're wrong and somebody comes to you and gets in your face and says you're wrong, you cannot wimp out. You know why? Because God's word's at stake. God's people's at stake. And most of you guys know when we make mistakes sometimes, either God's word gets hurt or sometimes people do. And we don't like to make mistakes like that. But you know what? Sometimes we will, because people are people. So he got it from Jesus Christ. And you know what? He was a better man for it. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 1. Almost done here. Matthew 17, verse 1. How many of you have ever been reproved before? Raise your hands. Come on. Stick them high like you're proud. Come on. How many liked it? Oh, you liked it, huh? Oh, okay, well, come on up after and we'll... Bless your life. Okay, now, Matthew 17, verse 1 and 2. Lisa, why don't you read these, okay? Since I made a comment about you in a joking manner. Go ahead.
Matthew 17.
Yes, verse 1.
Okay. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light.
Okay, there was multitudes of people, then a smaller crowd was disciples, then a smaller crowd was 12 apostles. But if you read the Bible carefully, of those 12 apostles, Peter, James, and John got to be hanging with the Lord Jesus Christ more than the other ones. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Peter was there too, right? So Peter got to spend some even more time with Jesus Christ. He trained him in other areas too. John chapter 21. John 21. So there's a bunch of other records we could read here. How Jesus Christ spent time with Peter and how they interacted and different things. But this is after, in his resurrected body, Jesus Christ now has gotten up from the dead. Now watch this. Peter was a fisherman. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. So he was in his resurrected body. He was alive from the dead. And the fellows that were there hanging out were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of disciples. And Simon saith unto them, I go a what?
Fishing.
What was his past? He was a fisherman. So he was going to go fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. He was a leader. Peter was going to go. They wanted to be with him. So they went fishing. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught a bunch of fish. How much did they catch? And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that he had been with Jesus. Knew not that it was Jesus. Let me read four again. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? And they answered, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall what?
Amen.
Ah, sounds familiar. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of what? Remember, they'd just been fishing, and how much did they catch? Nothing. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple who Jesus loved saith to Peter, It's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat around him, for he was naked, and did cast himself where? And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. This is a classic. And soon then, as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon on bread. Look, They went, by the time they got to land, Jesus Christ had a little asado over there, and he was working it, had some coals there, some fish, some bread. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye now have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and takes bread and gives it to them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these fish? You just went fishing. Do you love me more than these fish? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs, which means feed my little baby boys. Who is going to be the leader of the Christian church? What was Jesus Christ telling him here? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, take care of my people. Look at this. Do you love me more than the fishing business? You just went out fishing, you got nothing. Do you love me more than this fish? Yea, Lord, I do. Well, take care of the little people for me. Take care of the little boys. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. In the Greek, this is feed my little girls. Feed my little girl lambs. Feed my little girl people. And he saith unto him, what? The third time. There's some emphasis here. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my adult sheep. So Peter was the man that was going to take over. Jesus Christ was laying some stuff out here to him in his resurrected body. Do you love me more than these fish? Then take care of the little girls. Take care of the little boys. Take care of the adults. Now watch this. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, young, thou girdest thyself. Thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. In other words, you did whatever you wanted. You didn't take responsibility. You just did whatever you want. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Another shall gird thee. That means that you're going to take on the responsibility that was given to you by another. You're going to be responsible for what another person says. You will follow the guidance of another and obey him. When he was immature, he did what he wanted. Then at the end here, close to the end of the Gospels, Jesus Christ in his resurrected body said, hey, do you love me? Take care of the people. Take care of the little girls, the little boys. Take care of the sheep. And then he said here, when you get old, when you get mature here, you're going to be responsible to another person. You're going to follow orders. You're going to take on this responsibility. He told him to take care of the people. Then he told him about the commitment that it was going to take, that he had to follow God. He told him here in this situation that in the future, then, he was going to have to follow God's will in the situation, be responsible in that situation. So there we saw a man then who was kind of a wild guy, impetuous, did whatever he wanted, did some wild things, did some really good things in his with his boldness, did some not so good things, and then over time Jesus Christ taught him to follow, taught him different things, and then by the end here, Jesus Christ gives him the responsibility to feed the little boys, feed the sheep, feed the girls, feed the adults, and told him that he had to follow another. He had to follow God and not just do whatever the heck he wanted. And Peter then became the leader of the Christian church. And when Peter followed God and didn't do whatever the heck he wanted, he walked with God. But there was a time in Peter's life that he didn't follow God as his life went on. And after that, there was another man that took over for him, and that was the Apostle Paul. So let's close with Acts chapter 2, verse 14. So Jesus Christ trained Peter by doing these different things. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. This was Peter the fisherman. He didn't have a PhD, but Jesus Christ taught him. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. He had the boldness to confront all these people. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, after this sermon on the day of Pentecost, it says here, and when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify, exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 people. Peter followed exactly what God wanted here, and there was 3,000 people added to the church. Peter started as a fisherman, a while ago, and Jesus Christ trained him, taught him how to follow, and reproved him, and Peter took it and all that. And then Peter became one of the greatest leaders in the history of the Christian church, because Peter was trained by Jesus Christ, by the word, and Peter accepted the training. In today's world, are we going to rise up and are we going to accept the word of God as it taught to us? Are we going to accept it? Are we going to accept reproof? Do we want to stay where we are? Or do we want to grow and be great men and women for God? God has definitely laid it out to us, and God's word is so much available to us. And ladies and gentlemen, we sure have an abundance of God's word in our life, and we can choose to believe it and live abundantly. Father, thank you for this night and for the wonderful joy that we have and privilege in our life to understand your word in a great way. Thank you for these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, so that's it, everybody. And so if you want to hang around, there's more food outside. Hang around after a while. And those of you who hang around for a long time will help the house put the stuff back. Thank you very much for coming, and you're God's best. All right? God bless. I'm going to go